All right, it's time to begin. It's going to be a session on politics and food. I guess my personal contention is that food prices now, globally at least, have become volatile, and the trend seems to be up. The reasons for this, I guess, there are a number of reasons, obviously, you know, and there are local reasons here and there, but the broader reasons probably are tied to energy. We certainly have when we have increased energy costs, that increases some of the key inputs for agriculture, and that's a problem. And at the same time, when we start converting food material into fuel to address the energy problem, that can be a problem in itself, and there's always the associated land use change that goes with that. So the energy is one part of it, for sure. Climate change is obviously another, which is ultimately tied to energy, because that CO2 is in the atmosphere for a reason. And climate change has resulted in volatility in terms of our overall climate in our crop-producing areas. So we wind up with crops that are more stressed more often. Heat, drought, flooding have all been issues in some of our major global crop-producing areas over the last 4 or 5 years. The upshot of this is that food prices have been increasing, as I said, around the world. If you live here in Canada and the amount of household income that's spent on food is on the order of 10-12%, that's inconvenient and annoying. If you live in a developing country where you're spending 70% of your income on food, that's not just annoying. That's pretty catastrophic. So we have this situation developing, and I guess the where this links into what we're talking about today is that when people can't eat all the time, when they're hungry, they're grumpy. I guess my own view is that that's fine, and it's not very good. When they can't feed their children, they're dangerous, and you should watch for that. So we've had this situation with food security on and off, particularly since 2008. This has contributed to riots in various countries. It's contributed to the change of government in a number of countries. It has certainly been a major contributing factor to the Arab Spring, for instance. So we have this situation now. It is, I guess, for us timely to be considering relationships between politics and food, and that's what we're doing here today. So our first speaker, I've been asked to change the order. I won't say by who, but somebody to whom I cannot say no. So we're going to start with Dr. Go, and Dr. Go is the engineer in chief for the China Institute of Water Resource and Hydropower. He has a master's degree from the North China Water Resources and Hydropower University, PhD from the same place in 2005. He served as a senior researcher and the director of the Department of Irrigation and Drainage in China, and he's also served as the vice president of the International Commission on Irrigation and Drainage. Since 2003, he served as a board of directors of the Chinese Hydraulic Engineering Society. He's been project leader for 21 national and 6 international collaborative projects. His research areas include things like dissemination of water-saving technology, irrigation water management and assessment, irrigation and development and food security, wastewater reuse, and the effect of climate change on irrigated agriculture. So he's highly appropriate to our discussions today. So Dr. Go, if you'd be willing to come up and enlighten us about all of this.
Thank you, Chair, for your introduction. Good afternoon. Distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen. So, it's my pleasure to be here, attend this important conference, especially as a speaker for the session of politics and food. Actually, I'm not a politics. From a slide, you know, I'm professionals as an engineer in chief with Chinese Institute of Water Resources and Hydropower Research, and also president of the International Commission on Irrigation and Drainage. But I'm very happy to be here to share some information and observations with all of you. As you know, China, with 5,000 years history of civilization, and we know very well the relationship between food security and stability, political stability. So in China, we have a famous saying. In English, it means food is the first necessity of the people. In ancient China, the emperor know if no food, he could not serve as emperor for a long time. So we do have national grid reservation program, as some speakers mentioned this morning. Food grid reservation is a very important issue. But this afternoon, I want to highlight how to increase food production. So this is the basic situation. In China, we have a large area, large population, but precipitation distribution is very uneven in space and time. You can see from this slide, very dry in northwest China, north China, and we have more precipitation in south China and southeast China. But we also have serious flood problem in this area. So precipitation also distribute uneven in China. Most of precipitation only focus on 4 months, from June to September every year. That's the basic condition for us to produce food. Drought and flood is a very serious impact for food production, especially recent years with climate change. Extreme drought and flood event getting more and more frequently. This slide shows serious drought in north and northwest China and flood problem in south China, and sometimes also extreme drought in south China. So this is the distribution of water and land. We not only talk about water. So in China, 80% of water in South China. But in South China, we only have 38% of the total land resources. In North China, we have more land, but only 20% of total water resources. So let's highlight the irrigation and the drainage demand in China. This, the land at the water, land at the population in China. The total water resources accounting for 6% of the water resources. For the land, accounting for 9%, but for the population, accounting for 21% of the world population. So, China, food security is not for China, but also for the world. If we can solve the problem for 21% of the world population, that's great contribution for the world. How we can and why we can solve the food security problem in China? This slide shows you the secret irrigation. As mentioned, in China, population accounting for 21% of the world population, but we have very limited water and land resources. But in terms of irrigation, irrigated area in China accounting for 21% of the world irrigated area, same percentage as the population. So this is the development of irrigation and irrigation area in China. From 1949 to 1980, you can see from this slide, we totally depend on development of irrigation to increase food production. After 1980, as you know, China introduced reform policy. It start from rural area. That's the farmer get 30 years land tenure cultivated by individual household. And from 1980 to 1990, is 10 years, actually irrigated area decreased, not increased, because government input less in this area, in this period. After that, government input furthermore. So irrigated area increased furthermore. So this is the grape production in China. As you see from this slide, grape production is always increase. But why it's increased? As mentioned, from 1949, that's the foundation of new, we call New China. From 1994 to 1980, in this period, it's totally depend on increase of irrigated area. And from 1980 to about 1989, almost also 20 years, depend on reform, policy reform in rural area. And after that, in China, we have very quick urbanization process. A lot of people in rural area leave the farmland and go to the city. So in 4 or 5 years, grape production was reduced. After that, government identified the problem and tried to introduce new reform and mechanism, increase investment, and provide subsidy for the farmer to increase food production. That's, I think, the important factors for food production in China. Irrigated area, reform, and also investment, and household land tenure. So we still have some challenges. As you know, in China, population still grow. To the peak in about 2030, total population can reach 1,470 million. After that, the population will decline. So with the increased population, we have to increase food production to meet the demand. And the second challenge about the reduction of farmland. So with urbanization and industrialization, a lot of farmland has turned into other purpose. So land is decline. And the third challenge, water scarcity and competition. So this is the figure of the water share in three major sectors, agriculture, industry, and domestic in 2005. But last year, this figure changed dramatically. Agriculture sector only used 62% of the total water resources. So industry and domestic use more water. So we have to increase food production without increase irrigation water. That's the topic, a problem we have to solve in China. So this is the important political document, I think. 2011, China government issue number one document is the first time in history of China. The number one document in 2011 focused on the decision of central government on accelerating water sector reform and development. That's highlight the role of water resources and the new situation. So under this new policy, we focus on optimize water allocation and develop more water saving agriculture practice and expand effective area from 60 million hectares right now to 66 million hectares. And to enhance development of small irrigation project. Several speakers mentioned small landholder. Small irrigation project, very important to help small landholder. And also improve capacity for disaster prevention and mitigation, and also include to improve integration of advanced science and technology, include variety, farming practice, soil protection, fertilizer, and agriculture machinery. And also, I think most important is to promote reform in rural area, include improve water supply system management and service, establishment and development of a farmer water user association, and recently, this is very good news for smallholder, promoting scale cultivation by adopting cooperative system. In this system, farmer can afford to buy machinery and irrigation facility. And lastly, to increase investment for irrigation and drainage sector. In water sector, the government have made a decision to increase the investment for this sector for next 10 years, each year with the investment about 40 billion Chinese yuan. That's equivalent to $65 billion every year. Half of the money will spend for irrigation and drainage sector. We also promote international cooperation. So this is our former president of ICID, Professor Sandro Matsumoto. With his promotion, we set up international training and research center in Beijing to share experience and technology and information with other countries. So, as I mentioned, I work for ICID. Next year, ICID will organize the first World Irrigation Forum in Turkey. So we try to include all major stakeholders, decision makers, researchers, and social scientists, try to bridge the gap, because with involvement of stakeholders, we can solve the problem for sustainable development of irrigated agriculture. Welcome you. Join us next year in Turkey. Thank you very much.